morning, everyone.
Welcome to Crossbridge. It's good to see all your smiling faces. If you're a guest with us today or you're a visitor, welcome. I think we have our online thing going, which is really awesome. So those who are watching online, welcome. And everyone else, welcome back. And, you know, a special welcome to all you football fans out there. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Are you guys ready? Yeah? Who wants the Falcons to win? Yeah. All right. How about the Patriots? Nobody? Right? You know? All right. It's kind of split. Well, whatever you do today, if you go to a party, if you watch the game, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you have fun. It never fails, though, at every Super Bowl, this time of the year, I'm reminded of a time when I was in college, a long time ago, and I went to the University of Delaware. And Delaware was, at that time, I think it was 1995, actually, and at that time, we were like one game away from our own Super Bowl. So whatever that was called in single, double A, Division I land, whatever Delaware is, we were one game away from our Super Bowl. And football was big, and we loved going to the football games. We were playing Georgia Southern University or somebody like that. And, you know, if we won this game, we were going all the way. So, well, before I continue with the story, let me tell you that I am somewhat of a clumsy guy. Actually, I came up this way because if I stepped on these stairs, I know I would trip. And, you know, I walk into walls, I trip over myself, I broke my toe at a youth group event, which still hasn't healed. So I'm somewhat of a clumsy guy. So, all right, so we all get dudded up. We've got our faces painted, you know, we've got the wigs, somebody had a trumpet, we've got the megaphones, we're ready to go. We drive to the stadium, we park our cars, and everyone's getting out, ready to head into the big game. Well, I have this great idea. You know, I'm going to get people all rallied up. So I parked my car. I had a Dodge Omni. It's an awesome car. You know, only cool kids drove Dodge Omnis. But Dodge Omnis have, like, these little tiny bumpers on the back, and they have these really big hatchback windows, right? Well, I had this great idea that I was going to jump up on my bumper and just yell, like, you know, go Blue Hens, let's go, you know, Delaware. Their mascot's a big chicken, by the way, so it's kind of hard to get excited, you know, with that kind of a mascot. But I'm going to step on my bumper. Well, I never made it to the game. I fell through my windshield. I tripped, and I went right into my windshield, and it was a nightmare. You know, all my friends are ready to go into the big game. They're all excited. They're like, you know, like, what did you just do? And the ambulance had to come. They were pulling me out on a stretcher. They're pulling glass out of my back. It really was a nightmare. But the crazy part of all that was I just started dating Jamie. All right? So, in fact, we had a date planned for after the football game, and all I could think about was how mad she was going to be at me. You know, not just because I'm a clumsy fool, which I am, but instead of going on a date, she's picking me up at the emergency room. Well, here we are, about 22 years later. And, you know, I think Jamie's forgiven me, right? But in fact, I know that she's forgiven me. You know, Jamie was so kind and compassionate with me that day. Actually knew that she was going to be the one, you know, bring happiness into my life. Now, my college buddies, on the other hand, that missed the whole first part of the game because of me, I'm not sure they've forgiven me yet, you know, and I don't blame them. You know, forgiving people is tough. You know, forgiving other people can be difficult, and it's especially hard to forgive people that have hurt you or taken something from you or inconvenienced you. You know, forgiveness is often difficult to give, and surprisingly, it's difficult sometimes to receive. And I think that being unforgiving can get in the way of our happiness. And that's what our whole Be Happy series is all about, isn't it? A series where we're looking at what it means to be happy and what Jesus says about happiness. All right, so how can forgiving and happiness go together? How can forgiving help us be happy? Well, this week I want to continue to look at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and specifically the Beatitudes, and see how Jesus tells us to be happy. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and grab them now. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 5. It's the first book in the New Testament, three quarters of the way through your Bible. We'll have it on the screen as well. We're only going to look at a really, really short verse. Right? And we've learned in the past few weeks the Beatitudes or the blessings is a list that Jesus gives us to help guide us towards the true meaning of happiness. And in verse 7, Jesus says this, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, yeah, at first glance, this seems to make perfect sense. You know, blessed are those who show mercy to others, and if you show mercy to others, you'll be shown mercy. That seems pretty straightforward. But what really is mercy? You know, mercy is a very rich word with a lot of meaning behind it. You know, we typically associate mercy with compassion, with grace, with forgiveness. And the Hebrew language actually has three different words for mercy. And the one used here is chesed, meaning goodness and kindness. But when we talk about happiness and mercy together, you know, I think there's one aspect of mercy that people often have trouble with, a part of mercy that can directly impact our happiness, and that's forgiveness. And Jesus, thankfully, had a lot to say about forgiveness. And throughout the Old and the New Testament, forgiveness is a common theme. And today, I want us to look at the book of Ephesians. So again, if you have your Bibles, fast forward. You're going to go through the Gospels. You're going to go through Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and you're going to get to Ephesians. And we're going to look at chapter 4, verse 31. Now, before we get into it, the Ephesians was written by a guy by the name of Paul. Right? Paul came onto the scene after Jesus died and, in fact, became a Christian later in his life. He started writing letters to other Christians in various places, and here in Ephesians is a letter that he wrote to the people in a city called Ephesus. And Ephesus was a major city at the time. It's located in modern-day Turkey, and the Jewish people that lived there were very influenced by Greek culture. And the city as a whole generally worshipped like the goddess Diana. And Paul spent years in this city trying loving people and building up the early church. And they had this tension that they were dealing with, trying to discover, you know, who they were. And Paul really wanted to challenge them to stand out, to be different, you know, to not conform with the culture of that city. And here's what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 31. "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Just get rid of it. Get rid of it. Now, when I read this, the first thing that came to my mind was, wait a minute, Paul. Hold on. You don't know my story. You don't know what I've been through. You're saying just get rid of bitterness? Just get rid of anger? Well, that's not very helpful. You know, we've all tried to get rid of these feelings, haven't we? It's not that easy, is it? And Paul seems to just list every word he can think of here. You know, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander. Then he ends it with, along with every form of malice. And if you look up what malice is, it's basically any ill will that you may have for anyone, any bad intentions, any spite. Just get rid of it. To which we say, I don't know how. How do I get rid of it? First of all, I have a hard time just admitting that maybe I have these feelings. But then if I admit that I have these feelings, you know, I don't know how to get rid of them. Sometimes, to be honest, I don't want to get rid of them. You know, I can't help but be mad at certain people, right? At work or at school or at home, you just get mad. Or maybe even a harder issue is having those feelings about your own self or your own actions. You know, maybe you have some anger with yourself or some guilt you carry around for something that you did. So here's Paul writing this letter 2,000 years ago to a group of people that he cares for deeply, who then copy it and they send it all over Europe. And then here we are years later with the same letter, And Paul is saying to Crossbridge, you know, he's saying to South Jersey, do you have any bitterness? Just get rid of it. Do you have any anger? Just get rid of it. Any malice or ill will towards anyone? Just get rid of it. And what's our response to that? You know, it's probably one of three things. Either one, I don't have any of that, so don't worry, Paul. You know, I'm good. I got it. Or I do have some of that, and I really don't care. I want that. I'm going to keep it. Or you're right. I do have some of these feelings, but I have no idea how to just get rid of it. You know, and so why should we even take Paul seriously here? It just seems so impractical, doesn't it? Just get rid of it. He doesn't say control it. He doesn't say tone it down a notch. He says to get rid of these feelings. He hasn't even given us any solutions yet. So why even listen to Paul? Well, I think for two reasons. You know, first, you have to realize that Paul was not writing this letter from his beach house in Ocean City, right? He's writing to us in this letter from a Roman prison. And he's writing from prison because he's been unjustly treated by his friends. He's been unfairly treated by the political system. You know, he's been ignored by the Christians he's trying to help. He's basically been abandoned by everyone. Nobody's helping him. He has a right to be angry at everyone. And if you read the book of Acts, it's amazing to hear what he's been through, and even more impactful to hear some of the bad things he's even done. You know, here's a guy who actually used to murder Christians. And now he's sitting in prison. And he's writing to people that are free. He's writing to people that have ignored him. And he's saying, do you have any anger, you know, any bitterness, any rage? Just get rid of it. Just get rid of all of it. Now, isn't it true when you meet someone who has been through something so incredibly difficult, and not only have they survived it, but they're thriving in spite of it? Doesn't that get your attention? Right? It gets my attention. You know, when you hear someone's story about what they've been through, and when they come out the other side, you know, they're not depressed, they're not angry, they're not unhappy, and somehow they're able to just go on despite what they've been through. And when you meet someone like that, you just have to ask yourself, you know, what's the secret? You know, how did you do that? Because if I were to put myself in your shoes, I don't know if I'd respond that way. You know, I don't even know how you've survived this. And so here we look at Paul, and we know, you know, what he's been through, and he's saying, you know, just get rid of it. I think Paul has some credibility here because of his circumstances and because of his situation. And the second reason I think we should take Paul seriously is here's a guy who actually thinks you can get rid of these feelings, that you can get rid of this stuff. Now, I'll confess right now, there have been times in my life where I've been so upset and so hurt that I almost came to the conclusion that I would never get over it. Can you relate to that? Times in your life where you might have felt that way? You know, there are people that have been through such incredibly traumatic circumstances, whether family issues or a relationship that ended, a job that failed, you know, financial ruin, embarrassment in school, you know, whatever it might be. And you might think, you know, I'll cope. I'll do therapy. I'll get on medication. You know, I'll do whatever. But I don't think I'll ever get to a place where I'll fully and finally be over this. I don't think I can really just put it away. I definitely don't think I can really just get rid of it. And Paul says, I think you can. I think you can get rid of it. I think you can be free of it. I think you can get rid of it and be happy and be a different person. Now, here's a guy who thinks you can move beyond all that and be happy. You know, what if Paul's onto something here? What if you really could get rid of your anger or your built-up bitterness or even your guilt? And then Paul leads us to the solution. He says, you know, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And then this is what he says. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. That's a big contrast here, isn't it? There's this implied instead of. And Paul is saying, instead of all that stuff, I want you to be kind, and I want you to be compassionate. And then he brings us to the word that parallels get rid of. You know, how do we get rid of it? By forgiving one another. Forgiveness. And we all have different definitions of what forgiveness means or what forgiveness looks like. We've all forgiven. We've all tried to forgive. Unfortunately, the Bible gives us great insight on what it means to forgive. And actually, my second favorite pastor of all time, Andy Stanley, Jimmy, you're still number one, don't worry. He says it like this. Andy says it like this. Forgiveness is a decision. Forgiveness is a decision. I'll say it again. Forgiveness is a decision. What is forgiveness?
Decision.
A decision. Right. And the Apostle Paul is saying here, we need to be forgiving. And the Greek word Paul is using here is for forgiveness means to be constantly doling out the gift of forgiveness, to be constantly giving forgiveness. You know, you hurt me, here's some forgiveness. You stole from me, here's some forgiveness. You left me, here's some forgiveness. Here's some forgiveness. And that we are to develop a lifestyle of constantly making the decision to give the gift of forgiveness. And I know that most of us in this room have tried to forgive certain people. You know, for sure, I've tried to forgive certain people in my life. You know, I've tried to forgive that professor in college that gave me an F. You know, I've tried to forgive my parents for getting divorced when I was 15. I've even tried to forgive that driver that killed both of my grandparents in a car accident. But what Paul is saying here is that there is no trying, right? Forgiveness is a decision. We can't try to decide something. We make a decision. We either decide to forgive or we don't. You know, preparing this message, I've discovered something too. Forgiveness, it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. Forgiveness isn't intuitive. You know, it's kind of a hit against our self-esteem. It just isn't natural. You know, when someone hurts us, the natural thing isn't to just forgive them. It's to hold it against them until they apologize or they pay us back or karma just kind of comes back and gets them, right? But listen to this. You know, if you're drifting off, come back for a second. Listen to this. Only forgiven people have any motivation to forgive other people. Right? Only forgiven people have any real motivation to forgive other people. If you're not a forgiven person, forgiveness will never make any sense to you. If you're not a forgiven person who understands the significance of God's forgiveness of you, forgiveness will not make any sense. Because the only thing that makes sense when it comes to forgiveness is the fact that we have been forgiven. Right? Forgiven people find the motivation to let other people off the hook. Other people that have genuinely and deeply hurt them. And that's why the Apostle Paul says what he says at the end of this verse. Right? He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. And then here are two huge words. Just as. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. In other words, don't forgive one another because they deserve it. Don't forgive one another because they forgave you. Don't forgive one another because that's what our culture says you should do. Don't forgive one another because that's what your parents did or that's what your parents told you to do, right? Parents tell their kids all the time, say you're sorry, say you forgive them. No, we are to forgive because we are a forgiven people. That we have been invited into a relationship with God, and You know, do we need some forgiveness? I'm sure everyone in this room has done things they regret. You know, sinful things, bad things, things that you would never want to share with anyone. And I'm right there with you. And God looks at us in his mercy and his grace, and guess what he says? He says, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Right? So, for God so loved the world, he forgave his own one and only son, right? That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You are forgiven. And in this simple letter to the Ephesians, through the Apostle Paul, God is telling me, and he's telling you, that I want you to do for others what I have done for you. I want you to decide to forgive those who have hurt you. And I know some of you are thinking, you know, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through right now. And I agree. I don't. I have no idea. And I'm sure some of you could really share some tough stories. You know, and good counseling is a great option to get to a place of forgiveness. But let me tell you, you will never find true happiness focused on the people that hurt you. You will never find the motivation to forgive focused on the people who have hurt you. You will only find happiness if you focus on the one who has forgiven you. And the Apostle Paul is telling us to forgive one another just as, right? Meaning in the same way, in the same degree, to the same form, we are to forgive one another. And do you know how your Heavenly Father forgave you or forgave us? He forgave us fully, right? He forgave us for everything we've done, for everything we will do. We live in a state of constant forgiveness. And he's forgiven us freely. You know, it wasn't a trade. It wasn't a barter. It was freely given to us. And if we could begin to refocus our attention from the people that have hurt us and focus on how God has fully and freely forgiven us, only then will we find it in ourselves to fully and freely forgive others. And only then will we begin to truly find happiness. Now, I'd like to end today with three things for you to take home. On the end of each row, there should be a pack of 3x5 cards. Once you grab them, make sure everybody has one. Pass them around. I want you to take this card home. And before you write anything on it, I want you to think about it first. I want you to pray about it. I want you to take a few days. You know, some of you, this might come immediately, some it might take some time. But you need to identify who you are angry with or who you may have some bitterness with. Again, I know many of us in this room have stories to tell, and I know many of us are going through some really hard situations right now. But I want you to write a name down or names of people who have hurt you or are hurting you. And write their names down. Now, that might be the easy part for some of you. The second part's a little harder. I want you to write down how this person has hurt you. You know, what did they take from you? What did they rob you of? It doesn't have to be something tangible, you know, but did they rob you of your childhood? Did they take away your self-confidence? Did they destroy what your vision of what your family would look like? What in your mind did they take away from you? And if you have any anger or leftover or bitterness, you know, why? Identify that. Write that down. Finally, you need to decide to give the gift of forgiveness. Because what is forgiveness? It's a decision. Forgiveness is a decision. And it's not easy. It is not easy. All right, and to be honest, this may take years for you. This may take a lot of time. You know, it took me years to process and finally to decide to forgive my parents for the pain I felt when they got divorced. And that driver that killed my grandparents 15 years ago, you know, it wasn't until the past few weeks that I realized how much bitterness I had lying dormant inside me. And because I never decided to forgive that driver. I'd put it out of my mind. I pushed it down. But you know what? I forgive that driver. I forgive that person for taking my grandparents away from me. So when you are ready to forgive, I want you to do something with that card. You know, think about it, pray about it, and when you're ready, I want you to make an event out of this. You know, I want you to fold it up and tear it up into little pieces or bury it in the backyard, burn it, let your dog eat it, but do something with it, right? And fully and freely decide to forgive them just as Christ forgave you. Decide to let them off the hook. Decide to let go of your negative feelings. And from that point on, when the memories come back, because the memories will come back, when the memories and the emotions come back, you can stop and remind yourself, I forgave them. They don't owe me. They are forgiven. And that's when you begin to refocus from the source of your pain to the source of your forgiveness and to thank God for the forgiveness he has given you. And please don't misunderstand me here. You know, I'm not a trained psychiatrist. I know there are complexities in everyone's stories. And forgiving is not something that is simple. And forgiving definitely doesn't mean forgetting. People will hurt us in our lives. People will take things from us. We will get angry. We will have bitterness. But can you imagine if Crossbridge was known as a place that was filled with people who not only knew they were forgiven, but also freely forgave others? That we as a community recognized our anger and our bitterness and our spite, and we learned over time how to get rid of it. Now, how awesome would it be if we were known as a group of people that responded with the forgiveness of Christ in every situation? I dream of being that kind of church. That kind of church will change lives, and it will bring us closer to understanding the true meaning of happiness. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this morning, Lord. Thank you for everyone in this room. Lord, we just ask that you help us. You help us understand the feelings that we have inside of us, the anger, the rage, the bitterness, or just the ill will that we might feel for other people. Lord, just help us understand what that means and why we feel that way. And Lord, just as you have forgiven us for the things that we've done in our lives, we ask that you help us forgive those that have hurt us. And Lord, we just are so amazed by the grace and the mercy that you've shown us, that we take that and we let our light shine to others in this world, in this community, and we live a life for you, and Lord, that we know that you will be there in our happiness. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.